This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Gillespie looking to throw it in. Gets it up top to Queen. Dribbling left. Big step down the lane. Runner for the win. Baked it in! He baked it in! He baked it in! And Maryland has won! Maryland is going to the Sweet 16!
Yeah, they are. Thursday night, 7:39 tip for the Terps in San Francisco. They get the number one seed, Florida. You'll hear the game right here on your home for Maryland basketball, the Team 980. Johnny Holiday, Chris Knocke start the pregame show at 7 o'clock. Kevin Willard scheduled to join the show at 11:25. Joining me right now, one of my favorites, John Fanta from Fox, from everywhere covering the sport, the Field of 68. He's been doing a lot of sideline work during the tournament. What did you think of the Terps on Saturday against, I thought, a very well-coached and a much better than anybody thought Colorado State team? But give me your assessment of the game that they just won and the one coming up.
Well, Kevin, that was a Colorado State team that came in red hot to make the tournament, and winning the Mountain West tournament really to punch their ticket. I mean, that's a team that had won 11 in a row. And anytime you're going up against that with veteran players and Nick Clifford, it wasn't going to just be a cakewalk, especially when you're in Maryland's shoes and you're trying to break through. Program hasn't made the Sweet 16 since 2016. Kevin Willard has been a head coach for 18 years, Kevin, and he's had a lot of tremendous wins and outstanding moments and some championship moments as well. But he had never made the Sweet 16. And I thought early on the weight of that, you could feel it. You could feel it with Maryland, their body language. They were tight. They wanted it so bad. And I thought the defining play of the game was with 5 minutes to go and Maryland's down five. And Jacoby Gillespie just says, yes, you know what, enough. And he buries a three. And then they get a stop and he delivers an assist for a transition bucket to tie the game. When they did that, I said, they're going to win this game. They are going to find a way to win this basketball game with leadership like that. At times, you know, I think that Kevin would say this, like, at times ballers have to ball. Guys got to go and find a way to get theirs. And in that moment, Gillespie did that. And I just thought that the way things went down to the wire, I mean, that's a game that nobody deserved to lose. Jalen Lake hits an incredible three. But then for Queen to knock down that shot, Kevin, I think he is one of the only, if not the only player, Derek Queen, who can make that shot look as easy as it did. And it's not easy. That's a very difficult shot. What a moment for Derek Queen. He embodies what Maryland is about, what the DMV is about, all of that. He elects to stay home. He produces a historic moment. And it's a magical win for the Terrapins. And now they turn their attention to a Florida team that, Kevin, as we'll dive deeper, had a lot of trouble with UConn on Sunday and, frankly, could have just as easily lost that game. But it's survive in advance. And to the Terrapins, I say this. That team is mentally tough. You don't find a way in that game unless you are. An incredible ride continues. And if I'm a Terps fan, you're savoring this every single second of it. You deserve it.
John Fanta joining us. Follow John on X on Twitter, at John_Fanta. Average minds, John, think alike. I pointed that out yesterday. In fact, it started with Gillespie forcing the turnover on Clifford at the defensive end when they had a chance to go up 7 or 8, and then hitting that three, just massive, part of the game. You and I were texting back and forth after it, and I know that you put a video together that went viral on social media. Tell everybody how you answered the question, did he or didn't he travel Derek Queen on the game winner?
He didn't travel, and there's no world where that ever gets called as a travel. This notion that it even was or close to it is ridiculous. He is in motion, and he knocks down a shot that is a normal basketball play. Nothing about it says travel. And Kevin, it's easy for the cameras and people to slow things down and show the possibility of a third step, or in super slow-mo, it looks like he got away with an extra. I'm just telling you, Kevin, you're in the same boat. I watched hundreds of games, hundreds, if not thousands now, hundreds per year. There's no world where that's called travel. That official would be jeopardizing the game if he jumps in there and calls it. Let the players decide the game, and it was not a travel. There's no rule that says it should have been. The backlash is from people who slow things down and say that looks like one. There are so many sequences late in games, but during any, that's not a travel 4 minutes into a game. And so when people say, like, oh, you just don't call it there, you don't call it anywhere.
No.
So the game has changed where yes, at times players are in motion, and it looks like, because of the athleticism that a lot of players possess, it looks like it could be perceived as one. There's no world where that's a travel. Enough is enough. Nico Medved didn't complain and rip the officials apart. Then you shouldn't rip and complain the officials apart. But people like to be upset at something every time, and it was not a travel.
Yeah, John, anybody that's watched basketball for the last quarter century knows that isn't a travel. It's never been called as a travel. You'll see, I mean, traveling doesn't get called enough, period, but usually it's at the beginning of a catch where there is a significant shuffle before somebody gets started. Not once you go into that, you know, driving and shooting motion. You know, I don't know if you caught this or not, but they missed something in the first half of this game that was an egregious miss. There was a blatant, flagrant elbow thrown by Neek Clifford, who, by the way, is a hell of a player, at Jordan Geronimo that connected. They never looked at it. Never even looked at it. I don't think it would have been a flagrant two in an NCAA tournament game, but it would have been, perhaps in a regular season game, a toss the player from the game situation. Bare minimum, it was flagrant one, two free throws in the ball. Did you catch that?
I did see that, and they did miss it. And you know what? I'll say this. The officials are getting evaluated right now, too. And when they miss those types of things, they hear about it after the game. And guess what? That determines whether or not they make it to the next round. Here's my advice to any team, any coach, anybody. Don't leave it in the hands of the officials. Because if you're in a close game, they're not perfect. And mistakes can be made. You know, we've seen it time and again in this tournament. And, you know, I talk with some refs about this year, Kevin. I think you'd be intrigued by this because, yes, you're right. They missed that on Clifford there over the weekend. A lot of the refs have told me here this year, they're like, look, we know that we're not, you know, 20 years old running up and down the floor. We get it. We know we're older, and we probably, it takes us a little bit more time to get up and down the floor than the players. But one of the things that an official said to me was, he's like, you know, when you combine how fast the game is moving with how much an instant replay or a phone could could theoretically slow things down. He's like, I'm 100% when I'm on my couch trying to make a call too, and I look back at replay. He goes, our only goal is to get it right, but it's becoming extremely hard to officiate a game now. And I don't disagree. I mean, and I'm not trying to throw a pity party for the officials. They get paid a lot of money to do these games. But when a couple of officials have admitted that to me this year, with the speed in the game combined with our era of media being able to dissect any sequence of the game, yeah, that's why we see a lot of the errors that we do. It's why we see the errors to the degree that we do. It's a human error. That's what it is. And when something's moving as fast as some of these games, yeah, there are two to three things a game where you're like, yeah, I don't agree with that. And officials have told me, guess what? We walk into a game thinking we're probably going to have a couple of those mistakes. We no longer can sit here and say, hey, let's go out and pitch the perfect game. It's just not going to happen.
How would your friend, I say your friend, somebody you know well, because I've watched some of the interviews you've done with Danny Hurley in recent years, and they're always great. How would he feel about, well, you know, the game's just evolved and these guys are athletic and it's a really hard game to officiate? How would he handle that?
Yeah, not well, in all likelihood. Probably not well. Although, you know, the thing about Dan is it's interesting, Kevin, and I think that this is what's really complex about Dan. Dan is tight and pretty good with a lot of the officials away from the game. So when a lot of people say to me, well, how has he not gotten thrown out, or what this behavior, like, how has he not gotten a technical? He's figured out a way to also master, the officials know his antics. They know what he does. And Kevin, that doesn't make it, I don't think that makes it right. I also think there's times when he's crossed that line and, you know, maybe they should assess an additional technical foul, because just because you know how a coach acts doesn't mean that it makes it okay for him to act a certain way while the other coach acts a certain way. But I do think that was a thing this year.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that Dan, for how much he's accomplished over the last 2 years, you know, he's got so many more games and years left in front of him that you don't want your legacy to get hurt at all when you don't win a national championship. And I think ultimately that's what he struggled with this year. When all you've done is win the last 2 years, he had trouble accepting the reality that, hey, there's a reason why John Wooden has only done it. And oh, by the way, he did it in a very different era of basketball. He had some line crossing type of moments. Now, I will say this, okay, that I am gonna say this.
All right.
On Sunday, when he goes in the hallway and he says to the Baylor staff, you know, I hope that they don't, you know what, to you the way that they did to us. Kevin, I don't really care about that. Like, he's in the back hallway. It was captured on video. The reporter has every right to post that. They're allowed to. I mean, we've all done, like, people that hang around there. I don't blame the reporter for doing his job one bit. He's doing his job. That being said, okay, so what? So Dan was in the hallway in the heat of the moment yelling an obscenity?
I'm totally with you on this. The heat of the battle. And by the way, that's him. And let me just say this about that game. First of all, he has become one of my favorite coaches, period, in sports to watch. He is so good. For those of you that get annoyed by Danny Hurley, that's fine in terms of your personal thoughts. He is not a good coach. He's a great coach. And that game the other day was the true definition of watching a defending champion go down swinging. I loved the effort they gave. And look, Florida went to the free throw line the entire game. So there were, yeah. I'm not saying that it was a bad whistle that UConn got, but it certainly wasn't a favorable whistle that they got. But there was no to me, in watching UConn in that game, that's a team that you should credit if you're a basketball person and fan for the fight in that game, because that was far from a team that was a legitimate championship contender.
It's one of the best coaching performances of his career. I'm not kidding. They were a 10-point underdog. They could have gotten blown out. And there are games, Kevin, in the tournament. Jay Wright once said this to me, and it's why Jay is one of the all-timers. He would say there are games in the tournament that impact the tournament that the team that won, you wouldn't say that about. And I said, well, what do you mean? He's like, because at times a team and a coach finds a way to expose a team, particularly defensively, showing some defensive flaws, he goes, and then we can watch that video and say, we have been given a formula. And he goes, look, I'm not afraid to admit it. Coaches steal things from one another. You don't think that, Kevin, that material on Sunday helps Kevin Willard in Maryland survey how to face Florida and what the formula is to go up against them? You know what UConn did? UConn said, we're going to front the post. We're taking away the post. We will take away the post. If Walter Clayton and Elijah Martin are burying shots, so be it. Now, Walter Clayton came up huge. He made shot after shot, and he was
big
outstanding.
Shots.
If Florida doesn't have Walter Clayton on Sunday, they lose the game. They did not have momentum. They were down by 6 with 10 minutes to go. It looked bleak for Florida. Credit to Clayton. He's an All-American. But Connecticut, Kevin, they're weak in the post. They don't have a great front court this year. That's revealing if on the Terps. That is very revealing. And, you know, I think Todd Golden's done a wonderful job with his team. He had some issues off the floor earlier in the season. Those issues were worked through. And Todd has done a very nice job with his team. But he's under the age of 40. You know, he's 39. Yep. This is a new experience for him and his team. Kevin Willard's team, you know, they are very mature and poised in late-game situations. And Lord knows they've been in a bunch of them. So I'm really curious to see. But as for Hurley, he's what's good for college basketball. If you're a hater, it's the same way that people have hated, you know, the Yankees, the Chiefs, the Dodgers, the Warriors for a number of years. It's the same type of thing. You hate them because, you know, that's what you like to do. But if you don't like his behavior is the best form of reality television that we saw this past weekend.
Well, not only that, John, this is a sport that you love, that I love, but this sport has become a one-month-out-of-the-calendar sport, and it needs characters. Even if the characters are villains, the sport needs coaches and coaches with personalities, because they're the constants. The players are not. I wanted to just mention one thing about that game and what you said, you know, Jay Wright, you know, explained to you. One of the things in watching that game, you know, it's not that I preferred Florida over UConn watching that game, but I thought UConn, the defensive effort, the physical way that they took it to Florida was so impressive. But they had a lot of really good looks throughout that game from behind the arc. I mean, McNeely had multiple looks early in that game where they could have had a bigger lead, and they didn't knock them down. I don't know what they were from the three-point line, but it wasn't good. And Maryland's an excellent three-point shooting team, so we'll see how Florida defends it. But let's just move to Thursday night. You know, it sounds to me like you think Maryland's got a shot. How do they do it?
Oh, they've got more than a shot, but they have to be able to negate Florida's shooting to a degree. Yes, defensively, but Kevin, Florida's going to make shots.
Yep.
Clayton and Martin aren't just going to disappear here. Will Richard, either. I think for Maryland, their front court can be better than Florida's. They've got to win the battle they have to compete on the glass. If they don't win it, they've got to even it up. It's not going to be easy. I think Florida's an outstanding offensive rebounding team. But this is why you have Julian Reese, and this is why you have Derek Queen. And this is where Queen's ability to create mismatches is really intriguing, because he can catch the ball on the elbow, and it's hard to face him. I don't even know how you fully simulate that kid in the scout. He is one of one in the way that he plays the game. But all season long, we have said this, and I will say it again. When this Maryland team gets Seldon McGill and Rodney Rice going, They're a top eight team in the country, in my humble opinion. I believe they're that good. Maryland needs to keep Florida in the half court. I would want to limit Florida's offense to half court possessions. Again, easier said than done, but UConn did an elite job. You notice, Kevin, the moment Florida got slowed down in that game on Sunday, the game swayed in Connecticut's favor. If you let Florida get out in transition, it's not going to be a good day for you. But if you make them run half-court offense and you make Clayton and Martin shoot over you and you close out and hold them to one shot, you're going to win this basketball game. If Rice and Miguel show up and are hitting complimentary shots and this front court hangs in and avoids foul trouble, Maryland can do it.
All right, I've got a minute and a half left, and I've got a couple of quick questions for you. First of all, who's the best team remaining in the draw?
In the tournament, entire tournament? Duke's the best team in the country.
I agree with you. What's the game you want to see more than any other? A matchup.
Well, that's a really good question. I think that it would be fascinating to see. Well, I think Auburn-Duke, a rematch in the title game, would be outstanding. I also think this weekend, I'm going to go with Kentucky and Houston in an Elite Eight game, because I think Big Blue Nation would make Lucas Oil Stadium a home. And could you imagine, Kevin, Mark Pope in year one taking Kentucky to the Final Four?
No.
And facing Duke in the Final Four?
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
That'd be unbelievable.
To see a Duke-Houston rematch in the Final Four from last year with a healthy Houston team. All right, I got literally 30 seconds. Kevin Willard stays or goes?
I think that he's going to stay, because I just think that Maryland has backed up the truck in every single way. I think they're willing to give him, you know, whatever he wants. If you're asking me, I do believe that he'll stay at Maryland.
You're the best. Thanks for doing this. I've got Kevin Willard coming up next. John, I'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks so much, Kevin. I've never been a worse opener for an act.
Stop it. You're not the opener. You are the act. And he should have been on before you. Thanks, John.
Tell him who he's following. Make sure you tell him who he's following.
Yeah, he knows. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. At John_Fant on X, the head basketball coach of Maryland, Kevin Willard, next.